You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA, LockedOnBulls.com, and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. 331-979-1369 is the place to drop us a text, a voicemail, pull your phone out right now, enter that number 331-979-1369 and save it as Locked On Bulls. Drop us a voicemail or text message whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to the show. So back here, Locked On Bulls, Kings Bulls game last night. Good first half, decent first half last night, and everything then crumbled. And the Bulls turned the ball over 27 times last night. When you turn the ball over 27 times, Matt, you're not going to stay even remotely close in an NBA game. But following up, they played better than Saturday. I don't know if that's much of an accolade to give this Bulls team. But yeah, I mean, getting clowned by the Kings at the end of the game was not a whole lot of fun. But how you doing, Matt? What's going on?
Saying that the Bulls played better Monday than they did on Saturday is like saying, well, today my gonorrhea is a little less inflamed than it was yesterday. Like, are you fucking kidding me? No, there's no silver lining to what happened last night. The Bulls were competitive in the first half against a mediocre Kings team that used to be the laughingstock of the NBA. And guess what? Now we are. 27 turnovers. You let De'Aaron Fox completely embarrass your defense with your new head coach, who is supposed to be the guy running this team's defense and getting the greater energy and spirit that John Paxson talked about when you kicked Fred Hoiberg out. No, this is just like the next layer of a giant embarrassment layer cake that the Bulls are dealing with right now. And the cherry on top of that cake is Kings players, Sacramento Kings players, cracking jokes at the Bulls' expense as they're walking off the Bulls' home floor while the Bulls are getting booed off their home floor for the second straight home game, as well they should have, about how, oh, here comes another two and a half hour long practice for those guys tomorrow. Honestly, I mean, like, you can talk about the game if we want to. We can talk about what it means to have Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis back in this rotation if we want to. But last night's game against the Kings is nothing. It means zero compared to the bigger picture of all of the problems going on in this organization right now.
I just find it ironic that the Kings players want to clown the Bulls, and I mean, sure, you're getting booed on your home floor. I'd clown around too. I mean,
and the Kings are 14-12.
Right.
The Bulls are 6-22. The Kings had a right to crack jokes as they walked off a road court with a 20-point win. My God.
You mentioned De'Aaron Fox, and I want to start with him just as far as this Kings team goes. Man, I said it, like, when the Bulls made that trade, that was one of the guys that we talked about, even all the way back to our debatable show. We were talking about De'Aaron Fox and, you know, getting that next point guard for the Bulls. And he struggled a little bit last year, but this year he's really turned it on, and he did that same exact thing in the second half of this game. I mean, he didn't have a single point. He didn't have a single point for the entire first half, and he ended up finishing with 25 last night. 25 on 8 of 16 shooting. He had 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 steals, and a block. He was a plus 17 in the plus minus. So that kind of rounded out things for the Kings. But not only on top of him, Bogdan Bogdanovic and Marvin Bagley all of a sudden coming off the bench and finding ways to get defensive stops against this Bulls team. The Bulls just looked like a mess on the offensive side of the ball yesterday. And look, Lauri Markkanen is in the first handful of games coming back from his injury. This is still like his preseason, and that's fine. I'll give him some time on that. But he was 1-for-8 from 3 last night. Justin Holiday was 1-for-6. Guys were getting open looks, but this slow-paced play that the Bulls are playing is already looking like it's not going to work. I know slowing things down and avoiding just trying to get run out of the building was one of those things that we threw around last week, talking about Jim Boylan's new style and Fred Hoiberg and how that's going to change. But man, it hasn't changed. Honestly, it's only looked worse. To be completely honest with you, it's looked worse since what we've seen with Fred Hoiberg. And I know we said we were going to give Jim Boylan some time, but man, are these games ugly to watch? And I'm sorry, man. I'm pissed off too, because you know what? Ryan Arcidiacono, man, you are a tough guy, and I'm cool with you coming off the bench, but you can't have your starting point guard score 2 points and play 26 minutes, man. Like, I know Chris Dunn's going to be inserted back into that lineup, but that was just what was wild to me last night. Like, why are you dicking around with bringing Chris Dunn off the bench with that second unit? And then I know your favorite last night watching this game was seeing Jabari play the 3 for, I think, the first time this season. And if not, he got extended minutes at the 3. And this is probably the most we've seen him at the 3 if we haven't seen him already there. And like, Fred Hoiberg, I don't think used him at all there and was just not even kicking around that idea. And what did I tell you, Matt? I knew that was going to be part of this plan. I knew it. I knew it. And it sure happened last night.
Well, I mean, Boylan tried just about every conceivable lineup there is last night.
I didn't understand anything that, like, was going on.
He went 11 deep and at one point had a lineup on the floor where, like, Rolo was in there with Wendell and Jabari at the 3 and, like, Dunn and Shaq Harrison. So, like, for the love of God, I ask you, who's scoring in that lineup? And, oh, God, did you see how bad the spacing was? Like, it made no sense. They had 2 guys trying to post up at the same time. Like, if you want to talk about Boylan trying to slow the offense down to eliminate the mistakes and that whole, like, walk before we can run BS that he tried to spout, okay, well, you just turned the ball over 27 times, slowing down your offense to try to fix whatever problems you thought, trying to use ridiculously bonkers lineups of 5 guys on the court together that don't make any sense. Oh, and by the way, shout out to Jason Pat, Bulls J, for this stat. Or it was either last night or early this morning. After that game against the Kings, the Bulls now have an offensive rating under 100. How is that even possible?
Yeah, they're the only team in the NBA under 100 with an offensive rating. And they have the worst net rating in the entire league. And that tied with the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns at least have 101.7 offensive rating, but the Bulls' net rating is tied with the Phoenix Suns for the worst in the NBA. And yeah, man, I don't know how you get that low. And you talked about the rotations for a minute too. I didn't understand. Boylan was like checking guys in, and there was no real flow to any of these rotations. Like, guys were getting subbed in left and right, like every 2 or 3 minutes. I don't understand how an NBA team can flow when you're just picking, piecemealing together a bunch of different lineups and just throwing a bunch of guys out there. And maybe this is what he's doing. He's going to experiment and see what works. And that's shitty for us because we have to watch and painfully watch them go through this. But I mean, I don't care who's out there. You can't turn the ball over 27 times. You just can't. You just can't. Zach LaVine, Justin Holiday, and Jabari Parker combined for 14 turnovers last night. You can't do that and expect to win a game. And I'm sorry, you know, you can talk, like I said, we can give him praise for at least hanging around in this game and having a good first half, but that doesn't do you any good. You're playing the Kings, who are two games over 500 and are 500 on the road. So you're right. No accolades are deserved in this game for a quote-unquote team effort because you got embarrassed again on your home floor.
You got outscored 63-33 in the second half, yep. And not because Boylan was trying to punish his players like children and prove a point. Like, they got outscored in the second half even more so than they trailed at halftime against the Celtics on Saturday. No, this wasn't getting outscored in the second half by 30 points because you put all of your scrubs out there to prove a point and try and establish some quasi-level of dominance as the new head coach. No, you just got outplayed and outcoached while you were trying to figure out any kind of roster and rotation that works. I know we said we were going to try and be patient with the Boylan experiment, but look, some of it is this guy clearly is stuck in old ways of coaching that have proven to not work anymore. And some of it is the fact that it took less than a week for his players to rise up and near mutiny against him. And the guy's trying to pull all kinds of swag saying, hey, trust me. I might be lying to you about what we were going to do on Sunday's practice, but please trust me. I did that so you would trust me. Oh, and by the way, did I mention that I worked with Greg Popovich? Who the fuck cares? You are Greg Popovich. You don't have any of Popovich's credibility. You don't have Popovich's five rings. What the hell is this guy trying to do?
Told you, man. Shouldn't have bagged Fred Hoiberg as bad as you did. You know, you sometimes...
Fred's useless, too. Don't get me wrong. These can all be true.
That's
and
true.
And guess what? It all goes up to the level above the head coach.
You're right.
They are hiring incompetent coach after incompetent coach.
Both of those can be the same. They're not mutually exclusive. Fred Hoiberg can be a guy that doesn't fit with this roster and can't coach this roster up to what they want, but it also can be Jim Boylan can be worse than what Fred Hoiberg was. So I don't know if Fred Hoiberg would get this team to play better, but I know that the offense wouldn't at least look this bad. But I don't know. I'm trying, Matt. I really am. I'm trying to give Boylan a shot, but the dude just keeps talking himself, falling down that cliff. Like I talked yesterday, he fell off the cliff with everything that happened this weekend, and the climb back up to the top is going to be a difficult one, especially with this fan base. Yesterday, he continues to climb up the hill a little bit and then fall straight back off again with some of his comments. You know, it's not a negotiation how this team is going to be run. Really, no shit. Like if it's not going to be a negotiation, your players, good luck getting your players to buy in. That's all I'll say. Good luck getting professionals to buy in if you just want to lay down your iron fist and say, we're doing what I want and that's it. And that's all it's going to be. And the sad fact is, that's the way it goes because the front office and management have full support of Jim Boylan. So Boylan's going to be able to iron fist his way throughout this entire season with the full support of the front office, and he can basically do whatever he wants.
I mean, it's right in front of our faces. It's clear as day the dysfunction that's going on right now. It's disgusting that the front office is saying, well, Boylan has our full support, and it sounds like Paxson wants this, like, tough guy, bad cop, like, military kind of, you know, attitude as far as how he is trying to get a wrangle on this young team right now. It's a joke. And the fact that Boylan, as you said, some of his follow-up comments, saying things like, well, I have the prerogative to change my mind, when clearly double-speaking his way around the fact that he gave a reason of a hard practice Sunday for not putting his starters back in on Saturday night when the Bulls lost by an embarrassing margin that they didn't need to lose by. That's on Boylan. And then say, well, you know, it wasn't about the fact that the players were threatening to mutiny. I changed my own mind about what we would have done on Saturday. Were we going to do a practice? But, dude, shut up. You were talking about saving their legs for practice in your post-game interview on Saturday night. Don't lie to us, you know. Don't lie to our faces. Don't lie to your players and then tell your players that they have to trust you. Boylan making comments about how he wants to make it clear that this is, you know, this is non-negotiable.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
It's his way or the highway, and then you have your highest paid player and arguably your best player, Zach LaVine,
with a quote in Malika Andrews' latest comment today for ESPN saying, this is a team, this is a business, we should all have a voice, this is not a dictatorship. So your head coach is saying, this is a dictatorship, and your highest paid player saying, wait, hold up, we didn't agree to dictatorship. And fans can dislike it if they want to, and they can call these young, unproven players who haven't won anything soft if they want to.
That's lame.
But the fact remains that this is a players' league. These are, you know, you can call them children if you want, but for the most part, even if they are young men, they are men making multi-million dollar contracts and salaries. And to have Jim Boylan treat them the way he has over the past week, as far as what he's put them through practice and what he has said about them to the media and to the fan base, insulting their toughness. What the hell did he think was going to happen?
Spot on from Zach LaVine, too. Like, he gets it. And fine, like, you sit there and say, and some fans will sit there and say, Zach LaVine hasn't earned shit. Good, you're the highest paid player on this team, fine, but you haven't earned shit. Fine, say that. That's fine. But guess what? Like you said, Matt, this is a players' league. It's a players' league, and I'm sorry, the Kings just clowned you on your home floor, so don't give me the BS of, oh, this isn't going to affect free agency. I want to bring the free agents that here that want to work after a 56-point loss. Yeah, sorry, you traded that guy 2 years ago.
I vomited and then had to swallow it because I was, you know, because I was around other people when I heard that comment.
You traded that guy 2 years ago, man. And let's get into those comments after the other side of a break. You know, if you're as heated as we are and you need to stay warm this summer, this winter, you need to use Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend, family, or anybody on your holiday gift list. Great for anybody who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty, warm, and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter. Action Heat, we've got a special offer for our listeners. 20% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. Or use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay warm while you're enjoying all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for being a sponsor of Locked On Bulls. Be back here on Locked On Bulls in 60 seconds. Stay with us. All right, back here on Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369. Hit us up. Bulls lose to the Kings last night. A lot of people talking that the Bulls were going to maybe potentially come out to this game, turn it around a little bit, and end up beating the Kings at home. Because the Bulls, you know, outside of those embarrassing losses, which is bad, the Bulls have 4 19 or more point losses this season on their own home floor, which is awful. But the one thing that, Matt, we should talk about, Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn are back. And I felt like last night, maybe even more so in the first half, watching Bobby Portis out there, you can already tell he is a difference maker on the glass. And he had 6 rebounds in the first half. He finished with 8. I was listening to his comments too, and he talked about, you know, he felt good when he was out there, felt like he could make an impact. And he said, you know, the shots that I normally make on a night-to-night basis just weren't going down tonight, but I expect those to fall. So I thought Bobby Portis, for the only 19 minutes he played, had a decent impact, even though he was a -9 in the plus-minus. But also Chris Dunn, he had a pretty decent first half and then kind of disappeared at the end, but he only played 20 minutes too, so figuring that once Boylan gets his head out of his ass and actually plays these guys decent minutes, we'll see a little bit more production from both the Dunn and Portis. But they need to figure out a rotation and fast of not only the starters, but your second unit as well.
First off, it was nice to see them back on the floor.
we pretty much knew this season was going down the toilet when we lost those guys for 4 to 6 weeks on top of Markkanen missing the first month and change of the season. That was it. That sealed the Bulls' fate. Even the optimists out there who thought that the Bulls might be able to scrap their way to like a 7th or 8th seed in the weak Eastern Conference, I wasn't there with a fully healthy roster as this roster was, but certainly that, you know, that spelled their fate right there when those guys went down. You mentioned Bobby's immediate impact on the boards. Like he was on the court for all of like 6 seconds before getting an offensive rebound and then putting the ball back in the hoop for a quick, you know, 2 points, second chance points. Love to see that. And Chris Dunn last night had some solid takes. Like his crossover looked good. He you know, crossed over a couple of guys, got some good looks at the hoop, and finished them, including an and one. And, you know, we've been talking all last season, all offseason, about how Chris Dunn needs to get better finishing at the rack. So that was nice to see. Both guys are obviously important to this team. But, you know, we kind of know what Bobby Portis is. There's some good and some bad. He tries on defense, but he's not really a talented defensive player. But he is certainly the emotional leader. He will make hustle plays, and he can score you points on the offensive end. But to me, with Bobby and his contract situation, we don't know if he is going to be able to stay around as much as he might want to stay with this Bulls team. And for the love of God, I can't see why any player in the NBA would right now. But Bobby does want to stay, but I don't know if that contract is going to happen. To me, watching Chris Dunn for the final 50-some games is hugely important, and it's going to be tough to not be cynical about watching this team down the stretch. And certainly once we roll into January and February, it's going to be all about tank wins because of where this team is right now. But Chris Dunn is a piece of the Jimmy Butler trade that we truly haven't seen a full big sample size of since he came over because of all these various injuries. All we know of him and all we can judge of him right now is that he seems to be an injury-prone player. And maybe that's not fair because some of it's just like freaky stuff, like a dislocated finger or smashing his face on the United Center floor after a dunk. But we haven't had enough of a time to evaluate Chris Dunn, and not just Chris Dunn as an individual player, but how he fits into the other pieces in this young Bulls core. So yes, it will be nice to have rah-rah Bobby Portis back. And another guy who can help this team that has been god-awful on the boards this season and lift the spirit of this team and even doing so in a reserve role. But to me, figuring out who Chris Dunn can be is the most important thing that is on the docket for the remainder of this Bulls season. It is critical to figure out if he's a part of this future or not.
Agreed, and I think that's the guy to watch completely. And not even more so, and we talked about this last year when we saw Chris Dunn in stretches, I'm not so concerned about how many points he's going to give the Bulls on a nightly basis, because I think if you need a bucket from Chris Dunn, he can more than likely get you one. And whether that's going to the rack or the elbow jumper that he loves and he had success with last year, the thing that I'm going to be watching is his assist total and how he's moving the ball and how he's getting that offense to move. And maybe we'll be able to figure that out more so in a higher sample size once he's actually inserted into the starting lineup. But I thought it was impressive. 6 assists in 20 minutes, man. That's pretty decent for a guy that's just coming back. He played one game this entire season before he went down with an injury. But I totally critical. And I think Bobby Portis is just as critical to keep an eye on this for the remainder of the season. Because like you had mentioned, he's going to be a restricted free agent in the offseason. And what it sounds like, and I don't know, if Bobby doesn't light the world on fire, I feel like the front office is going to end up bringing him back because they'll realize that, you know, oh, well, the injuries kind of knocked and hampered him down, but we see some good things from him, and maybe they can get him at a cheaper cost. But like you said, I don't know who would want to hang around with this team at this point if you have an opportunity to go somewhere else. But, yeah, those two guys are going to be the guys that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. The other thing that I had from this game, Matt, that I just wanted to talk about real quick, and this might come with time and development and learning how to play with Wendell Carter Jr., but Lauri Markkanen's got to do a better job boxing out and figuring out how to rebound. Because I've watched him now against Oklahoma City, against the Rockets. I watched him again last night, and there was probably a handful of opportunities in every single one of those games where guys were making quick moves and beating Lauri around the basket and getting second chance opportunities. So that if there's anything that I can harp on as far as what Lauri Markkanen could immediately improve is learning how to box out better. Because Wendell Carter Jr.'s thrown himself all around the paint trying to stop guys. And Lowry's got to be that guy underneath the basket willing to go and bang bodies and grab rebounds. And the most important, it starts with boxing out. And just go back and watch the film a little bit. Marvin Bagley beat him two or three times yesterday on little inside moves, and he ended up getting second chance points. Same thing in Oklahoma City. Steven Adams was just dominating, and Lowry was just getting beat and picked apart underneath the paint, and Steven Adams was all over the place. And same thing with Clint Capella in his first game against the Rockets last week. So if there's anything that I can really harp on Lowry Markkanen right now, is learn how to box out better and learn how to be a better rebounder. And maybe that just comes with time.
I couldn't care less about anything that you just said, and I'm not trying to insult you or be mean, but you're talking about Markkanen and his boxing out as a weakness. Talk about being the least of this team's concerns right now. The Bulls have...
I mean, it's not really the least of the concerns. I mean, you're trying to develop these young players. So we got to pick apart some things that guys should be... We should all be looking for, and what things that they should be improving. Like, we can sit here and shit on the front office and shit on the Bulls coaching staff for the next 2 months if we really want to do that. But I don't think that's productive to watching these games.
I mean, no. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And... You know, granted, Markkanen has said to the media that both of his coaches, Fred and now Boylan, have talked to him about really trying to make improvements on the defensive boards as a part of his game that he should focus on. Fair. You're not wrong about that. But, I mean, like, a big part of the reason that they drafted Wendell is because they saw him complimenting Markkanen in many ways, including Wendell for making up for some of Markkanen's weaknesses and vice versa. So, like, if Markkanen is not the greatest defensive rebounder, Wendell can be. You know, if Markkanen is not the greatest defender down low, Wendell can be. And we have seen Wendell as help defender and rim protector at length already this season as a 19-year-old rookie. Yeah, we could talk about Markkanen needing to be a better defensive rebounder for a guy his size. Sure, fine. Like, that improvement will hopefully come, and I honestly don't think it's that bad. But, and I'm not just talking about their bigger fish to fry as far as this front office is a dumpster fire, ownership doesn't give a crap about the fact that the front office is a dumpster fire, and none of the coaches you've chosen know how to command an NBA locker room. I'm just talking about, like, the roster as is. Even evaluating the talent that this team has and trying to figure out who stays and who goes, Markkanen's rebounding is the least of their worries.
Well, I could care less about the development of Archie Diacono through Felicio and Harrison and Payne and Parker. I could, and Lopez. I could give a shit less about those guys right now as far as what their development is.
Okay, but like, Levine's prone to turnovers, and Levine being awful in crunch time. Can Chris Dunn be a scorer as well as a facilitator, and can he actually be a starting point guard in the NBA, which we were just talking about? How the hell, if at all, does Jabari fit into the next year's plan? like that's what I'm talking about. Even outside of guys that we know are just bench scrub role players and you know, seat fillers who probably aren't in the long-term plans, even within the core of this team, who we think and hope are going to be the guys moving forward, I am not concerned at length about Markkanen's rebound.
That's fine. And I'm pointing out things for the core players that we haven't really touched on because of the overshadowing of the firing and the Jim Boylan nonsense that's been going on. You know, picking apart what strengths and weaknesses we see from Markkanen, Carter, Levine, Portis, and Dunn. I think those guys are the most important out of anybody that's going to play this season. So picking apart, finding things that maybe they need to improve on are things that I feel like our listeners want to hear. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all you guys want to hear us is the nonsense that's going on with the front office and the head coach. And if you tell me at this point.
No, you're probably right, Jordan. No, like, you're right. And good for you for trying to keep this podcast on track right now. Because right now, I am so white hot with rage and anger about dysfunction above Lowry Markkanen's rebounding that I don't want to talk about Lowry Markkanen's rebounding. But I think you're right. And, like, you know, bless you for trying to at least get us to still talk about basketball in this podcast, because it sucks that this team
has so much dysfunction going on that it really doesn't even seem like when we hopped on the mics that I even wanted to talk about the basketball game that was played between the Bulls and the Kings last night, because that is so, you know, small potatoes in the grand scheme of what's going on right now. But you're right. You're right, and I'm sorry. It's a tough week, man.
I understand the frustration. I get it. And I'm sitting here the same way, but I'm trying to think to myself, like, if there's any way to survive this Bulls season as a fan, somebody who wants to continue to tune in, but it, like, this Bulls team is making it very hard to tune in outside of the reality TV show that they've decided to start this season. Like, outside of that, I'm trying to find little pockets where we can start talking about the actual basketball that's going on. But I don't know. I was ready to do that when Fred Hoiberg was going to get everybody back and healthy, because I at least knew how things were going to run and what he wanted to do there. Like, with Boylan, I don't know what he wants to do with these young guys. And maybe that's the bigger issue here, is he's talked about team play and what he wants the entire team to improve on. But I haven't heard him speak about Markkanen, about Carter, about Levine, about Dunn, about Portis. I haven't heard him speak at all about what he wants to see from those guys and what he wants them to improve on. So maybe it is a larger issue. It's like, what is Boylan going to do, and what track record does Boylan have of being able to develop young talent? And maybe those are the larger questions that we need to go after instead of talking about Lauri Markkanen's rebounding. But I still think that's an important part, so I won't let you get away with that one.
Okay. I don't even know. No. Continue. What were you gonna say? I don't even know what to say right now.
I know my blood pressure has been at an all time high over the last week or so. So I get it. But you tell us. Drop us a voicemail or a text message, 331-979-1369. If you could give a shit less about Lauri Markkanen's rebounding, how to improve that, let us know. But I want to talk about the national scope of this entire story going around this Bulls team. You know, I've heard ESPN national reporters, writers, figureheads, analysts talk about what the dysfunction that's going on with this team.
You're 6-21. You stink. Okay? You stink.
Wait, how do you feel?
Feel free to not complain about the coach maybe working you too hard. He's yelling at us. Don't yell at us anymore. I mean, are you serious? You're 6-21. You stink. You got blown out by 56 points. How about look in the mirror in your team meeting? Have a big mirror in that room and everybody stare at it for a minute and say, yeah, it's those people's fault.
Make that change.
Jim Boylan, who may be working you a little bit too hard. Are you kidding me?
On the other side, in the mirror, it should probably have the picture of Garpax in that front office, is who fault this is all really is.
Garpax, the people that don't know, that's so inside Chicago.
And the people inside Chicago would tell you, you can get mad at this team all you want. That front office has been the one consistent force through all this losing.
I agree with that. That separate aside, the players, though, complaining that a coach might be working them too hard when you're 6-21. Yeah. You know what you do when you're 6-21? You zip it and you play.
Adrian Wojnarowski with us now. And Woj, at the risk of being the old guy, look, I'm sorry, but I'm with Boylan. You get beat by 56 points at home. You're professionals. You clearly have things you need to work on. How does this Bulls situation resolve itself?
Well, right now it's easy for Jim Boylan because he's got ownership, management on his side. And this is a young team. There are no stars on this team. This is the change they wanted from Fred Hoiberg to him. And you've always seen this Bulls management group. They really have overcompensated whenever they've made coaching changes, from Vinny Del Negro to Tom Thibodeau, Tom Thibodeau to Hoiberg, Hoiberg to Jim Boylan. Extremes.
Not subtle. Reaction from around the league, because you know and talk to everybody. What do other players, other GMs say when a young team like the Bulls reacts in a way where they're basically saying, nah, we really, really don't want to work?
I've heard more executives talk about Jim Boylan needing to be cautious. And listen, he's been up. He's a really good coach. And, you know, he was with Greg Popovich in San Antonio and then came as the associate head coach in Chicago. But other executives have said, this can't go on like this, that But for them, it doesn't fit for their team or their organization. Mm-hmm. But Jim Boylan doesn't work for them. He works for the Bulls. This is what they want from him.
And I get it. I mean, I can agree with him. But at the same time, you catch more flies with sugar or honey than you do with vinegar. But when you hear, like, LaVine supposedly says you're not Popovich, well, you're not the Spurs, man. Like, we didn't get beat by 56 when I was with the Spurs. So at some point, do you need 2-hour practices and film study? Maybe not. But we're going to practice today because there's stuff you guys can get better at. I can't even fathom that you're just going to be like, no, we're not practicing.
Jim Boylan's plan was to come in initially, and as he called it, a shock and awe campaign. He wanted to shake this group up. He wanted to make them uncomfortable. I don't think this will continue for the long term. You can't sustain this in the NBA. And here's the other thing Boylan does have. He has relationships in that locker room with this team. He didn't come from the outside. Right. He's been their coach for a couple years as an assistant. He does have relationships in that locker room.
Much like you go from Thibs to Hoiberg. All right, we don't have to practice for 2.5 hours, but we're also not practicing. Let's practice. Let's work. Let's get better. All right. Is that a plan?
That's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, but Chicago's famous for having tough coaches here. So I'm guessing the fan base is probably going to be on the side of Jim Boylan. Would that be fair to say?
Well, I mean, you know, he's unproven. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's funny because you talk about a 2-decade-plus career assistant who's getting his first chance. That seems to bring to my mind the name Tom Thibodeau, but he's certainly not as accomplished early as Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau won 62 games in his first season, albeit with a much better roster. You say that they have had tough coaches, and they have, but, you know, Phil Jackson used to sit there with his legs crossed when they won 6 championships and called timeout. He also had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen out there running around for him, so that helped things. But under this managerial regime of John Paxson and Gar Foreman, Dan, they've kind of gone back and forth.
What can you tell us about what's really going on in Chicago?
Look, I mean, they made a coaching change for a reason. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Jim Boylan to be the heavy. He's going to change the culture. That's his mandate. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm told, Gar Foreman and Jim and Pax were in the meeting that they had. And I think he has the full support of management. I think he has the full support of ownership to be doing this. And it's one thing if you're going to call meetings, if you're going to lay down the law here, you're going to try to change the culture and you don't have support of management. But he has the full support not only of his bosses, but of ownership. And players know that. And from what I'm told, they had this players meeting, and you know, in the NBA, you don't practice after a back-to-back usually, yeah. Right? So that's, I understand players being concerned about that. I understand, I understand, it was mostly Zach LaVine who was trying to stick up for his fellow teammates, being a leader on the team, saying we shouldn't have a practice here. This is too much. This is excessive. From what I'm told, Zach and Jim have met since this, mm-hmm. and they've cleared the air. They feel okay. Now, Chris Haynes and Vinny Good will have a report on Yahoo that they had spoken to the Players Association before all this was happening on Sunday, but I think...
Spoken to the Players Association to sort of protest the fact that, hey, after a back-to-back, we're being made to practice here. Is that what
they're... Correct. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's what you would do. That's when you have a union. You go to them and you check, if we're not going to practice, then what are our rights? How does the union feel about this? But from what I understand, Zach and Jim Boylan have already spoken about
this. They've since talked about this.
And there is talk even of forming a leadership group of players that if there's ever issues like this again, they know how to go to the coaching staff and they open the lines of communication. So I think this is, you have to look at this big picture, which is he was put in as head coach for a reason. And if you have an organizational mandate to try to change a culture, this is how you do it. And you make statements like Jim Boylan obviously was trying to do on Sunday.
The thing that caught me there, Matt, and I think it caught every Bulls fan, and maybe you didn't even hear this until now, Zach LaVine, main guy, is part of that revolt. The I don't think it's fair to show up to practice. I don't think it's fair to have a practice after a back-to-back. It sounds like he was the lead of all of this. And, you know, if I'm just piecemealing things together, Justin Holliday, same thing. I feel like he has something to be involved with this. Him and LaVine were the heads of that player meeting going into Sunday. You know, we saw that weird send Blakeney down and then bring him back up, and then he was in street clothes last night. Like, that was kind of odd, too. But I think it just goes back to the matter of fact that this entire team does not trust Boylan, and Boylan's trying to instill trust in all of them, And he's doing it with tactics that literally just don't work with this team. Don't work with young players and don't work in the modern NBA. And this dude continues to double, triple, quadruple down on everything he's saying. So, I don't know. What did you make of the national stories around besides what Ramona Shelburne had to say?
I mean, yeah, you mentioned Ramona Shelburne. As far as whether or not Boylan's approach works anymore, Mark Stein, you know, former ESPN, now he's with the Times, had a great column yesterday talking about how, like, you know, not just Jim Boylan, but the guys who replaced Hoiberg with Jim Boylan, a.k.a. Paxson, need to accept the fact that this old school mentality just straight up doesn't work anymore. It doesn't. It's a player's league. And you can be mad about the fact that this unproven young Bulls team are like, oh, they're just a bunch of soft, sour pusses, and they should be running wind sprints, and they should be going through tough, grueling practices at the end of a back-to-back because they're 6-22. And, you know, dude, all love in the world to my guy Big Dave on Bulls Outsiders, who has a great Bulls podcast himself. But he was talking to me about this last night and how he was saying, look, these young players can't complain about going to practice when you're 6-22. Clearly what you were doing wasn't working. So what you're doing still isn't working. So get out there and practice and fix it. No. No. And again, all love in the world to Big Dave. But that has nothing to do with anything. The fact that the Bulls are 6-22 has all to do with the roster that this front office assembled, being injury bit and lacking in talent even when they aren't injury bit. It's not about your practice habits. Give me a fucking break. The national perspective of what is going on with the Bulls right now is they are a laughingstock. Mark Stein saying essentially adapt or die. How are you still not adapting? And Ramona Shelburne speaking up on the Jump. And there was a piece on SI today, Sports Illustrated, Andrew Sharp. No, that's a hockey player. Something Sharp. Some Sports Illustrated NBA writer saying, like, talking about the Bulls and the Suns as two of the most dysfunctional organizations in the NBA right now, and how it's all about ownership, and it's either ownership trying to overmanage and micromanage in the case of the Suns, or in the Bulls' case, just being absentee. And the fact that the Reinsdorf family could care less. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf is lighting a cigar celebrating Harold Baines' Hall of Fame induction and not giving a goddamn single fuck about the Bulls and how much of an embarrassment they are across the league right now. And his son, Michael, saying, hey, well, Pops, if you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. We all think that John Paxson is doing a great job. Hey, have I managed that I really like Jerry West?
Well, first of all, when I talked to Jerry West, it was...
And Jerry West really likes me and seems to think that the Bulls are doing just fine?
Look at Jerry West.
That is the national scope of how other teams across the league, how other media people who cover this league, and how fan bases across the league, including the Sacramento goddamn Kings, see the Chicago Bulls right now. Makes me sick. It's a fucking joke.
Imagine if the White Sox signed Bryce Harper, too. Imagine that shitstorm of Bulls fans who aren't White Sox fans. You know, there's a lot that live here. I am one of those. I am a Bulls fan and a White Sox fan. But imagine the fans that are just Bulls fans. Like, they could care less about the White Sox and go out and spend $300+ million on a player on his other franchise. Well, we can't even get in the door with a top-tier free agent since 2010. Like, that to me is just absolutely wild. But we can throw around $20 million to bring our hometown hero and Jabari Parker back. So, I mean, I guess that's where our spending priorities are at this point. But you mentioned one other thing, too, that I kind of want to toss your way is a lot of the national reports, and, you know, maybe there's a minority of guys, but people asking the question, like, oh, these guys are being soft. Like, you can't really complain when you go down 56 and complain about having to practice the next night. I think those reactions are completely missing the point. Same thing with what you just said, Matt. Like, it's not about toughness, and it's not about these guys being soft. It's not about that. These guys just grind it out. Do people realize that 2.5 hour practices and 90-minute shoot-arounds and watching film immediately after losses is not normal for NBA players?
Not normal. Normal.
This is in high school, and everybody that keeps bringing up, you've got to be tougher than this. You can't be soft. This is in high school varsity basketball. This is in college. None of that works. with professionals. And then on top of all of that, I hate these takes, Matt. And this doesn't just come from the Bulls or from the NBA. It's anytime we talk about professional athletes and how much money they make and what they should be putting up their standards to somebody else's 9-to-5 job. Guess what? Nobody gives a shit about your 9-to-5 job, and professional athletes aren't the same as your 9-to-5 job. This industry is completely different. It's by itself. So to compare your 9-to-5 job and say, well, if I didn't show up for work, I would be fired. Well, no shit, but the NBA and the professional athletes don't operate the same way as all of us do that have 9-to-5 jobs. So I'm sorry, that comparison is just completely out the window, so don't use it. Because it doesn't make any
sense.
It's lazy.
It's a lazy thing.
It is.
Oh, come on. Like, they just lost by 56. They could use a practice. The reason they lost by 56 is that their coach was, like, acting like some detention, monitor who wanted to punish his kids. The reason the Bulls lost by 56 is because Jim Boylan wanted to prove a point. That loss, the most lopsided loss in franchise history, he's got to wear that. I hope it worked. I hope it, I hope you proved your point. Oh, wait, no. He immediately tried to spin his decision for doing so and lied to his players about why he did so. And then says immediately after that, I'm just trying to get my players to trust me. They got to trust me. Oh, by the way, did I mention that this is non-negotiable? Like, what? What are you trying to instill right now? It's a more laughable. Like, it's a more laughable example than Tom. Tibbs was like the last guy to make this work at the NBA level. And even after a while, the guys who he was getting to make it work ran out of steam and got sick of it. He made it work for a while because the Bulls were talented, they bought in, and they were winning. What has Jim Boylan won with his hard-nosed, gritty mentality? Okay, one game against the Thunder. Cool, that was a fun 2 hours. How have the other 100-some hours gone since he took over? It's a joke. The Bulls are a laughingstock. This is a team with one of the richest histories in all of professional sports. And for some reason, with the rich history and the arguably the best, most passionate and dedicated fan base, not just here in Chicago, not just in the United States, but all over the world, we got listeners to this podcast everywhere because that's how big the Bulls' reach is. And by the way, did I mention you're the third largest market team in the league? And yet still, nobody wants to come here and play.
Operate like a bomb and pop shop.
And Boylan saying, I'm not concerned about front off, our perception around the league as far as getting free agents to come here. I want free agents to come here that are willing to work. I want guys that are free agents who want to come here and run wind sprints all day. What the fuck are you talking about?
That quote, like, I was sitting there reading that and just go, stop talking, man. Just stop talking. Because you continue to fall off this cliff that I'm talking. He climbs up, scales 10 or 15 feet and falls right back down every time he talks. The other thing, Matt, too, is, like we were talking about more the national scope, a couple other things, I like Ryan Russillo. I don't know if you enjoy him or enjoyed him when he was on ESPN.
No.
He does a small podcast once a week.
Like, parentheses, he should probably be in jail, but continue.
But anyway, he tweeted out that he tweeted out this: imagine being on the Bulls, losing by 60 and wanting to skip the next practice because the new coach runs you and yells more. Like, the thing that I responded to him is, like, imagine sitting your starters the entire second half against one of the best NBA teams in the league. Like, the 56-point loss, like we said yesterday, did not need to happen. And Jim Boylan wanted that to happen. He did. Yeah, there's no other explanation other than sitting your starters for the entire second half. And you want to talk about 50-50, getting 50-50 balls at the end of the fourth quarter and guys just kind of standing around? Like, what do you expect? What do you expect? They're down 45. You think guys are going to try to rebound the ball down 45? Like, when you just embarrassed your starters? Like, I'm sorry.
And this is why Zach LaVine, of anyone, has the most right. And don't give me Zach LaVine still just some overpaid kid who hasn't won anything. No, don't give me that. Don't give me that, Big Dave. Zach LaVine has been asked to do so much for this undermanned Bulls team so far this season. And by the way, you know, he's pouring in points. Yes, he's been having some issues with turnovers. He's messed up in some clutch moments this season. We know that. Did you know that he has also run collectively a longer distance across an NBA court than any player in the league this season? Zach LaVine has covered more ground on an NBA court than every other player in the league. Look that stat up. It's real. So you can understand Zach LaVine getting a little ticked off when Boylan says, you know, oh, we're not tough enough. We're not playing with enough fight and enough energy and enough spirit. And Zach LaVine to say, excuse me, sir. Why don't you go fuck yourself? I've been running myself ragged out there, playing heavy minutes, scoring as much as I can, trying to also be this team's facilitator, trying to be a leader. Don't tell me that I'm not trying. Don't tell me that I'm not tough. Oh, and by the way, you called my play embarrassing last night and we lost by 56. You only let me play 17 fucking minutes.
Zach LaVine made it a point this summer to show all of us, Bulls fans, management, everybody around the league, he was going to work his ass off, his conditioning, to make sure that he can stay fully healthy and be at his best this season. He did that. Man, every day, Snapchat, Instagram, he was on there filming himself working out, finding a way to get better. And did we all of a sudden forget that he's coming off an ACL injury not even a year ago? So Boylan calling out these guys, you had mentioned the miles that Zach LaVine has run this season. To call out the conditioning, too, just bothers me so much. That is just the complete slap in the face to any of these players that actually do go in there and bust their ass every single day, and all of them do that. So to question their conditioning, I'm sitting here like, Jim Boylan, you have been in that building for 4 years.
Right.
So don't come to the fan base and tell us that this conditioning is poor,
yeah,
that the play is poor. You were a part of Fred Hoiberg's problem.
Exactly. Like it's like he came in and took over a completely unknown situation that
right?
He was unaware
of. Amnesia.
It's like, dude, alright, well, if you thought conditioning was really that big of a problem, as the associate head coach, maybe you do something to address that. And honestly, to say that the entire team is out of shape and you're making everybody run wind sprints, like, that can't actually be true. That might be true for, say, oh, I don't know, like Felicio, maybe Jabari Parker. But here I am, one of the biggest, staunchest anti-Jabari guys in the world of NBA, in the world of Bulls media and podcasts, saying Jabari has gotten into noticeably better shape since training camp, since the start of the season, and has been in noticeably better shape since before Boylan took over a week ago. So if you're really going to stand on that pedestal and say conditioning is really the biggest issue, come on, man. You're missing the forest for the trees.
But I'm with you too, Matt. I don't think it comes from just grinding your players in practice. Like, that doesn't work, and I agree with you. And it has nothing to do with toughness or being soft or any of that. I genuinely don't think that. And there is part of this fan base that thinks that Boylan's mentality and his iron fist attitude is what this Bulls team needs, a kick in the ass. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that, and I don't agree with the way he's gone about it either. And I just don't think the players went to the Players Association. Some of the players reported Boylan for the extreme tactics. Like, when's the last time that NBA players that we've gotten a story about NBA players going to the Players Association because their coach is going off the rails? Like, that is not a common story we hear every day. So I don't understand the
right. And it goes right in line with the fact that you don't also hear and see every day an NBA coach running his players through a practice, and not just a practice, a 2 or 3 hour practice with push-ups and wind sprints every day of the week that you don't have games. Oh, and on game days, 90-minute shoot-arounds. Look, you can call all of that stuff soft, and you can say, come on, these players are whining about practices that last a couple hours. I played ball in high school, and we always practiced for at least 3 hours. Dude, shut up. Like, realize what the norm is in the NBA. You don't have to like it, but you have to accept it, and you have to accept the fact that this bullshit, I'm the captain now dictatorship that Boylan's trying to pull with no credibility at the head coaching level is a joke.
I don't have an explanation for it anymore. And like the last thing I will say, and we'll get out of here, Matt, is this Bulls front office, this coaching staff, and the fan part of the fan base that thinks that this team should be grinded every single day the way that they were on this first week with Boylan, you're not going to be happy until one of the core pieces comes down with a major injury because they are fatigued, because they don't have time to rest and recover and be able to be that player all season. You're not going to be happy until someone gets hurt. This team hasn't been healthy all season, and you want all of a sudden them to be grinded down? We haven't been healthy all year, and that's the way that you want this thing to go. You're not going to be happy until somebody gets hurt, and if it continues down this path, I would not be surprised, Matt, and I know you wouldn't either. Because that's what's going to happen. You grind players down the way that they do, someone's getting hurt. That's just the simple fact.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Well, I think on that note, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Drop us a voicemail, text message. We'll try to get to as many as we can tomorrow on tomorrow's mailbag. So we got 2 days off. Bulls are headed to Mexico City Thursday to play the Orlando Magic. Going to be an interesting one. I wonder what the fan base down there is like, how they love NBA, if that's even relevant in Mexico. So I'm interested to see the storylines that come out about that over the next couple of days. Because I think it is cool that the NBA is going international. They've tried to take these steps to do that. So it's pretty cool that they're kind of expanding a little bit. So that's what
you know that there's going to be more Bulls fans than Magic fans down there.
100%.
Even though, you know, Orlando is closer than Chicago. I saw somebody who cracked a joke about, hey, maybe we can build a wall and prevent the Bulls from coming back to America after that game. That is where we are as a franchise right now. Those kind of jokes are being cracked at the Bulls' expense. The Bulls are a bigger laughingstock than the current political office leading our joke of a country. The Bulls are a bigger joke than American politics. That's how sad we are.
But drop us a text message or a voicemail at 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com